You ready? Hello, we are back. Chris and Rory, work in regress. You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. I'm regressing this week.
Why?
Oh, I was... I don't know when this is going to go out, but that man flu I had serious.
Yeah.
Like... I'm better now. I still sound a bit bunged up, but standard, isn't it? I can't even see the camera, so I don't even know what I look like.
That's true.
But yeah, it just knocked me for six, man. I very rarely have a day off work, but I had three last week. I was in bits.
It's real, man. I remember being. I think I got the norovirus early on this year, and it just fucked me up. Where I was fucking shitting and vomiting and. I had the shivers, and it really, like, when you get ill, there's like, you know, sometimes you get like a bit of a cold and you can kind of make it through, you're bunged up, your nose, you're sniffing and shit. And
yeah, I feel like there's three levels. A norovirus is at the top.
Oh, yeah. Like regular.
So, as in, bit of a cold, as in, can go about my everyday business, feel a bit butters in the morning and at night. Then there's, oh, fucking hell, I'm rough. That's like when you get a really heavy cold, like a disgusting cold. And then there's norovirus, like, you ain't getting out of bed for 3 days.
No, I remember lying here, like, watching TV, just being like, what the fuck is going on? I was just so uncomfortable. I had aches in my shoulders and neck, like, it was just, But, well, you're here now.
At least you lost a bit of weight, I suppose. It's always good.
I'll fucking put it back on. I look like a fucking green potato.
I like, do you know what? Where did you get that jumper from?
Oh, I got this years ago from TK Maxx, man. TK Maxx.
Have I commented on that jumper before? Because they're knocking them out for about 140 quid though.
Yeah. I got this a few years ago. No, I don't know. I don't really wear it that much for some reason. Does it look okay on me? I feel like I look weird. I
just noticed that it's unlike you to cut about with like something woolly on. Let alone something woolly and Ralph Lauren.
Bear too fancy for me.
Yeah.
So I actually feel uncomfortable looking this good. but I was feeling good today, and I handed in my notice yesterday at work.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
There fucking with my dick hanging out. Yeah, thank you, man. Fuck that place. I mean, hopefully they don't listen to this because, you know, you don't want to be shitting on people, but... Man, I've had this job for 6 months, and it just wasn't what I wanted it to be. Bit of a nightmare, if I'm being honest. Not like, I don't know. I'm a bit too like. I'm not that soft where I'm gonna allow myself to get like proper bullied. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was certainly tried on a number of occasions, and I think that I just wasn't. At first, I wasn't even clued up to what the fuck was going on. I was like, what the hell is?
Hadn't they been on their third building manager in the space of like a year or something?
Something like that. They've got a lot of turnover.
That's a red flag.
You know, yeah, but you don't know that when you get there. I mean,
no.
To be fair, maybe they shouldn't have hired me. I don't know. It was just, you know, I don't know. But I went there and I was just like, this is not what. Just not my brand of building management. So, looking forward to this next one, boy. It could be hard work, but I'm prepared for it. I'm gonna be managing 7 buildings. 2 office buildings and like a row of like high-end flats where apparently like there might be some like apparently there's like football players and stuff that live in there. Like these are multi-million pound flats.
They'll probably be, I mean, you really don't want footballers living there if you want a quiet life.
Well, they say that in my industry, in like the building management industry, residential is supposed to be the hardest because we deal with people in it, so we always got to deal with complaints. And obviously where people live, that's going to be really important. And you're talking about like millionaires, but the thing about it is, and I even said this in my interview, I understand that that's supposed to be difficult, but if I could pick out my best attribute, it's people.
Yeah, I'll go along with that.
Hands down, but that's why I'm good at my job, especially when it comes to work, because I don't care if they fucking yell at me, I don't give a fuck. The problem is when your people, who are supposed to be your management and your colleagues and stuff, your support structure don't support you in the decisions that you make. If someone yells at me or was to say anything bad about me, I don't care because I'm trying my best and I'm doing what I'm literally capable of doing. Because I know that I go far to try and help people. And
also, I think when you're not someone who's used to getting yelled at that much purely because of how you look. Like, you played on the front row when I met you. And you're very much still built like someone who plays in the front row. I think you'd have to be a very certain type of person to start shouting their head off in your face, even if you are at work.
But people don't, and that's what I'm saying. But the people that complain about, like, so-and-so having an attitude and they're not being able to work with them, I'll be like, let me have a conversation. I'll go to that person. Sorted. People are always blown away at how I get things done. And it's just because I just deal with people. Like, I ain't stressed.
That's fair. I can get that. I'm quite good with it. I tend to try and sweet talk my way around things rather than...
Well, that's how you do it.
Yeah. I guess it is.
You know, you go up to me and be like...
I've never seen you in action. We've never seen each other have a row. I think it would be funny. I find it funny that my mates have jobs anyway. So to see you in a working environment trying to calm someone down, that I think that my head would come off.
I'm very good at what I do.
Oh, I know.
I like...
You keep getting new jobs, so you must be half decent.
Yeah, it fucking took me 2.5 days to get a fucking job. But it's building management's my jam, boy. Like, it's just when I found it, it just seemed right, because work, I don't want to work. You know, work isn't what I want to do. But if life forces me to do that, you might as well try and find something that you love and that you can do. And if I don't do anything proper with comedy, if I try my best or whatever, if I had to do a regular job, I could do building management for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and that's the key in it. Like, just finding something that... Look, because I'm convinced no one actually wants to work. Unless you do a very select number of jobs, I think most people don't want to work. And certainly don't want to work 60 hours a week, 50 hours a week, 40 hours a week.
Well, some nut cases do.
Normal people don't want to work. So if you can find something you don't mind and you're half decent at it, then crack on. Obviously, from a selfish point of view, I'm hoping your comedy takes off and your podcast takes off.
So we and take off,
maybe in 5 years we're doing this from like a boat somewhere. Ooh. In the south of France or something.
A boat?
Yeah, maybe not a boat actually, I get seasick. But,
yeah.
You know, some sort of plush surrounding. Not in my flat in Chesant or your flat in Holloway.
No, well, like, I keep saying, telling Holly, I'm going to be a millionaire, so it's all good.
I hope you're a millionaire.
That'd be sick.
I'm going to borrow so much money off you.
What?
Alright, we've got one thing to do before we move on to the main subject of the podcast. We have to plug the night on the 10th.
Oh,
10th for the second. Well, you do it, it's your...
If anyone actually comes out, for everyone that doesn't know me, I put on a comedy night called the OM Comedy Club. We've talked about it before. The last one of the year was going to be December 10th. Come out to the North 19, North London, Islington. If you are a listener and you are within region and we've never met, oh my goodness, if you come down, goodness me.
Do you know what, I'll put it out there, if you come up to either myself or himself and we don't know you, or we don't know that you're a listener, and you come up and you say, I listen to my podcast, I'm claiming my free pint, you can have a free pint off of us.
Oh.
And if you do it to both of us without the other one knowing, you can have 2 free pints. So there's your incentive.
Oh wow, there you go. So yeah, come out to the OM Comedy Club, hopefully I'll get this out in good time.
7:30.
No, 6:30 to 8:30.
6:30.
And it's probably going to be the best lineup I've had so far, and I'm not even lying, because I really tried to make it a rock solid one. Come out. That's it. Thank you.
I just thought we better, because I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been in a few weeks, I take a break from comedy during the NFL season, because my Sunday nights are sacred, but...
Not that we've had to encounter it.
But I'm
asking as a favour.
Yeah, I'm coming down on the 10th.
Good.
Couple of my favourites are performing.
Yeah.
And it should be a really good night.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
The man Dan Cohen.
It is.
Shout out.
Should we get into the subject then? Do you want to introduce it or shall I?
You go for it. You go.
Okay, so this is something I've always found quite interesting. But I wanted to have a discussion. So the main question, if this was an essay, the question would be social media, good or bad for society. But I more want to have a more rounded sort of conversation around the whole social media area. Because I feel like we are the last generation that grew up without proper social media. So I got my first ever social media platform when I was probably 18 or 19, which was MySpace. I would imagine you would be around, I mean, we're the same age, so
yeah,
I'd imagine you'd be...
The first one I'd been on was in college. I just remember it was called the High Five.
See, I don't remember.
Honestly,
that.
It was just the first one. And,
So you had Bebo and MySpace.
Looking back, I think I was talking to some creepy 40-year-old pedophile.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, no, because there was this really hot girl talking to me. I was like, oh my God, why is she talking to me like this? And she was asking to meet and stuff. And I almost did, but then at the last minute I pulled out because I was just like, this doesn't seem right.
Do you know what? I've got something really funny to say. I'm not going to name this person, but during the very early days of like MySpace, Bebo, a friend of mine who you know as well, used to use pictures of Fernando Morientes to get girls. So he'd just get pictures off Google of Fernando Morientes. I'm sure it was Morientes. It was a striker. It was a Real Madrid or a Valencia striker who wasn't big over here, so they weren't like, it weren't like a massive name like Beckham or Torres. But I think it was like Fernando Morientes or Raul or something, and we're using it to chat to girls that were like 23 when he was like 16.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so, and then obviously we moved on to Facebook, and now we have Twitter, and now we have, you know,
Instagram
and so for a bit of back.
No, it's
a streaming service. Most people have YouTube. I used to love social media. Like, I used to, before, like, smartphones and stuff, I used to, like, get home from work when I was, like, 18, 19 during the week, and I'd sit and I'd chat to my mates on Facebook and MySpace and everything like that, and MSN. And it was, if you'd have asked me back then, like, I'd have said it's an amazing thing. But actually now, sort of 15 years later, I feel like social media is affecting my enjoyment of so many things that...
I would absolutely agree.
And would you agree, like, from a personal perspective on yourself as well? Or
no, for you.
For me?
Yeah.
So, go on, elaborate.
Well, it's a fucking Arsenal, isn't it?
Well, it's not even just Arsenal.
What it's done for you and Arsenal and Arteta is absolutely insane.
No, it's football in general. I feel like you can't... I feel like Twitter and football... And because a lot of the people I follow on Twitter are to do with football, and a lot of the people that follow me are to do with football, whether I've played with them, whether they're other people that go to Arsenal, whether they're whatever, I find most of the stuff on my sort of feed is football related. And I just feel like it's so hard to enjoy now. Like not just that, like politics, another thing. Politics are... You know, not that politics has ever been something that's particularly enjoyable, but I just feel like there's so many areas of life that the enjoyment of them is taken away because of social media, that for the first time I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to carry on doing this much longer.
Well, that's why, like, for me this was a bit of an interesting one, especially like when you introduced it, because I almost didn't want to turn this into something where I'll just be attacking you. Because you're like, out of anyone I know, you live on social media more than anyone. Like, you love Twitter.
I love Twitter.
You absolutely
X,
love it.
That's
like,
it
so much. I mean, I had to mute you.
Yeah, I know.
Just for the sake of our friendship. Because, you know, who you are on Twitter is.
I'm just opinionated.
Yeah, but it's like, the thing for me, right, I remember, I'm a late adopter at quite a lot of things, right? I don't really delve into stuff. So, you know, I think I got Facebook after everyone did. And then Facebook kind of was, in and of itself, innit? There really wasn't much going except for Facebook.
Facebook put MySpace out.
MySpace to Facebook.
And then there was nothing.
And then Twitter came out. And then a few years later, you're like, that was a whole thing in and of itself. And then Instagram came after that. Now, with Twitter, I held off for ages getting on it. And you know, I was just encouraged to do so. I eventually got on Twitter, and
who encouraged you to go on Twitter? It weren't me, was it?
Danny.
Danny.
Yeah, he would always say, it's just like he said, it's just for news. It's for, like, if you wanted to get updates for stuff, and you know, I knew that Twitter was just where a lot of people did a lot of shit talking and stuff. So for me, one of the reasons why I never delved into it, because I knew that a lot of it already was just going to be a bit of a cesspool. Then when I went on Twitter, it was weird how quickly I found myself just being triggered, like, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, it does. I'm sure it does.
Straight away, there were just things on it, and I'm like, fucking transgender what? Like, you know, riled up over nothing. Like,
yeah.
You know, because Titania McGrath is making a joke, and I'm like, look at these, you know, and I'm at, like, and I remember thinking, it was literally like 8 months where it just descended into whatever.
Is that the that was a parody, that account, that Titania McGrath?
Yeah, but the thing with Titania McGrath is that it would always be a screenshot of something that was real. And there was a joke, or it would be a news headline. So then,
so for those that don't know, Titania McGrath, I don't even know if that was her name or if it was Titiana. Titiana, sorry, like that. She was a parody lefty who pretended to be like a Corbyn supporting lefty.
Yeah, well, it's the it's that comic. He's actually a comic. He was a teacher, but he's now become a bit of a famous comic to some degree. I can't remember his name. Gosh, that's terrible. Look him up while I'm talking.
Oh, it's Jonathan Pye. It was.
No, it's not Jonathan Pye. Stop it.
What? I see.
It's ridiculous. Jonathan Pye. You talk about someone that's gone rogue. Off topic, like. God, he was like a parody, and all of a sudden now he's just become like an opinion person. But like, it's not even funny anymore. But anyway,
Andrew Doyle.
Andrew Doyle, there you go.
So I'll read the first. She's actually got her own Wikipedia page. So
yeah.
Titania McGrath is a parody Twitter account created and run by Andrew Doyle, a British comedian and Spiked columnist. Doyle describes her as a militant vegan who thinks she is a better poet than William Shakespeare. As of March 2021, the character has more than 600,000 followers. Yeah, so that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, so when but then when I got on Twitter, that was, he was still anonymous, wasn't known, and it was really funny, isn't it? Because it was a funny attack, and one of the real first, I think, attacks on woke or wokeism that was really, really good and captivating and got a lot of people and was really becoming, you know, something that people pay attention to. But the problem is that it would always be something that was based on real life, so then you would look that up and then you'd be like, the world's coming to an end. And then I just, it was literally, it took me like, 6, 7, 8 months, and then I just had to start. I really liked Twitter because I like NBA, I like football, I like sports, I like UFC, so I want to be updated on things. But I had to just curate it. I had to gradually just start muting certain people that I feel were just, I don't know, there to just kind of enrage me or excite me to the point where it's just become the point of being irrational. Now, I think you haven't allowed that to happen to yourself, especially when it comes to Arteta. You battle fucking Russian bots on there. No one is saying he's the best manager of all time. And the thing is, like, it has affected your ability to enjoy football. Because it's already based on a thing that you already have a feeling for. You know, that's what social media does. Social media doesn't make you think something. It enhances what you think already.
Yes.
So it's going to take, if you're someone that slightly thinks to the left or right, now if you're someone that thinks on the right, it's going to take you far right. If you're someone that thinks on the left, it's going to take you far left. Because you're going to find people with the same opinions and then become this fucking echo chamber within an open platform. All of a sudden, you're fucking saying praise Allah, trying to go out there and do something.
Yeah. Do you know what it is with me? I don't mute people. And the reason I don't mute people is because it's the same with Corbyn. Like, honestly. Do you know what? Arteta and Corbyn are quite similar. Hear me out. This is my hot take. Mikel Arteta and Jeremy Corbyn are similar in that in reality, they're not as bad as their supporters make them look. So Jeremy Corbyn in isolation, if you listen to him speak, he doesn't make me as angry as his supporters do. And the same thing with Mikel Arteta.
No, but that's facts.
Mikel Arteta is not a bad coach by any stretch of the imagination. He's a good coach.
He's an arrogant,
he is arrogant.
He's a bad coach.
I'd say he's done a very good job. Would he have been
a horrible person?
He ain't a nice person. I'm not having that. But what I will say, I'll say two things about Arteta before we start making this my personal tirade against Arteta. Two things about Arteta. Number one, he's done a very good job in the last 2 years. He's done an extremely good job in the last 2 years, right?
Roy has not said that at all.
Right. Number two, at any other big club in the world, he would have been sacked after his first 3 years. At any other big club. So from any big club, from Tottenham to Bayern Munich to Atletico Madrid to Real Madrid to Napoli to Chelsea to Man United, he would have been sacked. So he's very lucky to be in a job, but also he has done well in the last 2 years. And I'll say that. Do I think he's quite arrogant? Yeah. Do I think he's quite irritating? Yeah. Do I think he's constant gesticulating on the touchline ruins my enjoyment of a game? Yeah.
I mean, he but all or nothing with his fucking with your head or your heart.
Yeah.
This is the light bulb. He's a fucking nutcase.
Yeah, but he has done a good job. My issue is that his supporters will have you believe that Arsenal were a pub side before he turned up, and have almost have been willing to erase 125 years of history from before Arteta arrived.
The problem is, you think that Arsenal is on the level of Man United and Real Madrid and Barcelona. They are not. They're in that middle ground. Right? They are just that level below. Mm. They're not that. They're the Dortmund. They're not the Bayern Munich.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that too much. I'd say Arsenal are the third biggest club in this country.
For sure.
After United and Liverpool.
Yes. There are, there's a much wider berth between them two and us than I think you give credit for.
Hmm.
Because
I'm not sure.
Arsenal's got to be this certain
club. I think a very good comp for Arsenal in terms of a similar size club in another top league is Atletico Madrid. I think Arsenal and Atletico Madrid both have big brand new stadiums.
Yeah.
Both have youngish coaches that formerly played for the club. Both have a very large and passionate fan base. Both have got to Champions League finals and never won one. And both probably consider themselves the third biggest club in their country.
That's why a club like Arsenal would keep a manager like Arteta for the first three years. So, because they can't... I mean, they can only attract so many people. They're not a club like, if Real Madrid come calling, you're going to take that job. They're
yeah.
not that
tight. Also, one last thing on him, before, because I don't want this to turn into a Mikel Arteta. One last thing. Arteta doesn't love Arsenal as much as people make out. If Real Madrid came and offered him a job tomorrow, he leaves.
Right.
Let's move off of him.
No, but
let's move off of him.
But I think it's an interesting point, because the thing is, like, you're talking about your enjoyment of it. Do you think if you could be objective about your own self with it, do you think that, like, it has affected your perspective on you watching football? Because me personally, as your pal, I think it has.
Well, no, I just. When I go to an Arsenal game, I still enjoy going to an Arsenal game. Like we went a few weeks ago to the Fulham game.
A couple of months ago.
I really enjoyed that day. That was a great day. We went out, we had a few beers, we watched Arsenal. It was a good game.
Yeah, draw, wasn't it?
It was a 2-2 draw, but it was a good game, and Fulham were actually unlucky at the end. Like, which is surprising given that Arsenal have got the best manager in history, but you know, I just couldn't resist that. No, I still enjoy going to the games. My uncle came over from Dublin to watch the Liverpool game last season, and we had an absolute blast. It was one of the best days on the piss I've had in years. We basically drunk all day, Arsenal beat Liverpool. So I still enjoy going. I just find it harder to... Do you know what I think? If this is the most successful period in Arsenal's history, Arteta's fans will be unbearable. I like to think that if we win a Champions League, brilliant. But I'd rather we win a Champions League with someone else's manager.
See, that's sick.
That's not sick.
You're sick in the head.
No, I would love nothing
more.
I would love nothing more than for Arteta to leave and go to Barcelona, and then us to beat Barcelona in the final of the Champions League.
That's a whole different story.
But yeah, I think he's doing a good job. I just don't. I don't like his supporters more than him.
Yeah.
Do you know what the funny thing is? I really liked him as a player. The funny thing is, I really, really liked Arteta as a player, and I used to defend him because he was a very tidy player who came at a time when the team was on a low, and he was exactly what Arsenal needed at the time for like 10 million or something. My issue is that now there's people on Twitter saying he's our greatest ever midfielder.
Yeah.
And he's nowhere near, but he was a tidy player.
But that's also one thing as well. I think that terms of the social media aspect where you're saying like it's bad, or it could be bad for people. I always think they're in the comments, like certain posts, and the harsh thing about it is that like certain posts now are built to so people argue below, isn't it?
Well, you get paid for interactions now if you've got a blue tick.
Do you know what I'm saying? And that's part of the problem, because all you're doing is making people more opinionated. Because one of the things for me, what I think social media has actually done really is just shown how many stupid people there are.
Oh, a million percent.
I don't think people ever give credit for that. And like, funny enough, Holly said the other day to me, like, she was like, Chris, you're all right. There's just so many stupid people in this world. And I've been saying it for years. I think more people are fit than are smart.
That's so funny as well, because Holly's really bright, but it took you to make her notice how many stupid people there were.
I'm the great truth teller. I tell everything I say is true.
No, but also I get the impression that Holly's Chris's girlfriend, by the way. I get the impression that Holly's the sort of person that always automatically thinks the best of someone until they give her a reason not to.
Well, yeah, she didn't grow up on the streets.
Whereas you're the opposite, and I'm the opposite
as well.
Look,
you know what it's like when you grow up. You're like, she's She's from the fucking Welsh Valleys, you know. So we leave our door unlocked all night, you know.
Like, does she actually say that? Or have you done?
But, you know, we're
can you imagine that if you ever buy a house together somewhere like Brixton and then she starts leaving her door unlocked?
She's not.
No, I know. Yeah. No, what I mean is she does strike me as the type of person who thinks the best of someone until they give her a reason not to.
I do generally think that women do that more than men anyway.
Yes.
Men size each other up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why on social media, that's why the majority of it is men. Do you know what I mean? That's why Instagram, from a social media standpoint, for women is much different. Because a lot of the body stuff and actually seeing pictures, you know. Men argue about stupid shit, where I think women may be sort of more focus on kind of the aesthetics and that, all that shit that comes with that.
Yeah, I don't have any data to back this up, but I definitely think women prefer Instagram, men prefer Twitter.
Yeah, of course, it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, the only reason I got Instagram, and even now, like, I got Instagram when I started doing comedy. And the funny thing is, as soon as I got it, it just started showing me pictures of women in bikinis.
How annoying is that, by the way?
Like, how am I supposed to avoid it?
You ain't.
Well,
it's funny. That. It sees
you there sitting on the toilet, like doing a shit at work. All of a sudden, they're 15 minutes just looking at people in bikinis.
Yeah, I just. Do you know what it is? Is I am
my seventh shit today.
These people, like, that's become their business now. Like, some of these girls, like, their job is to post pictures in bikinis.
Hey, magnificent!
If you can get paid for doing that, fair play. What I don't want. And I was going to bring this up, actually, in our, because we've got a five-a-side of the most annoying people online.
Yeah.
It's got worse since Elon... It's got worse since Elon took over Twitter.
Oh,
but I mean, literally, you write anything now. You can literally write on there, like, oh, Inter Milan are playing well against Benfica tonight.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you in your replies, you've got some bird. Right. And it's always like, I don't know whether it's a Russian bot or what it is.
Yeah, but it's mad.
It's almost like... If they can see you're tweeting about football...
But what is it encouraging? See, the thing I don't understand about it is, what is it encouraging? What is it like... Why even have it? You just go on it and all of a sudden you're just like, oh, they've got...
No, they're trying to get...
Post and they've got about 500,000 followers.
Yeah, they're trying to get you to... Because I think the idea is, and I think Danny brought this up. Danny works in marketing. He basically said, if you have I think he said once that if you have a Twitter account with... I don't know, not 500,000, because that's an absurd number. But if you have a Twitter account with 20,000 followers, you can sell that for about 30 grand.
Mad.
Because it's an advertising tool.
Yeah.
So, I'm guessing that...
I'm just not susceptible to that shit.
No, but people are. The same way you're not susceptible to falling in love with some romance scammer who lives 2,000 miles away.
Oh.
But men do.
Yeah.
And they meet them online... Well, exactly. But again, you said most people are thick as shit. These people that are clicking and following, you know, for example, people that follow a load of like Instagram bad bitches, right? So the girls who just post bikini bitches, they live in like Melbourne or something,
why would you right? Follow them?
That's and they're following it. Baiting
yourself up proper.
Exactly what I was going to say, right? Yeah, the people that follow them, there must be a little voice in their head that says you might be able to shag her.
Oh.
There must be. It's the only excuse.
Have you ever gone into a girl's DM?
I've heard. Just the things that people write to girls is just, yeah, it's insane.
It's mad. I know. I'm saying, I don't know if I should be asking you, have you ever done it?
What, as in gone in and had, I've looked at my missus' message request.
I'm saying to you, have you messaged someone online?
Oh, I messaged someone online? No.
How's it going?
Nah, not since... I mean, probably like 2013 or something.
Yeah.
But only when I've already interacted with them. Like, I wouldn't randomly follow someone. Even like when I was single, I wouldn't randomly follow someone and then just slide in their DMs 2 minutes later. That's bait.
Yeah.
But I've met people off Twitter before. Back in the day.
You've got plenty, mate.
No, like, I'm talking, I've met girls off Twitter before.
Really?
Back in the, yeah, when I was at uni.
Social
media is
definitely
bad
for society.
So we played football down at Portsmouth. Yeah, down at Portsmouth. And it was like Middlesex against Portsmouth Uni or whatever. And we took a picture in the dressing room afterwards. It was first game of the season. Took a picture, like a team photo, and I tweeted it. Like down at Portsmouth Uni. This was when Twitter was fun. Back in 2012, and posted it, and then Portsmouth Uni retweeted it. I got a load of new followers, and then, like, literally that day, this girl was in my DMs, and then we spoke during the week, and then me and the goalkeeper, who I'm not going to name, went down there the week after to meet up with this girl, and, like, she was in, like, a house full of girls, and we went down. This was probably 2012.
Yeah, so
literally had never met her before. I'm not, this is a family show.
Fair enough.
But no, this was probably 2012.
Yeah.
But that was when Twitter was actually fun.
But then now you. Twitter was fun. Facebook was really fun at the time. I used to love. During college, like, I fucking loved Facebook. And then uni was pretty good. And then as we've gotten older, it's just become this thing that is. I guess because, you know, like you said, we. Our age is very. Middle of the road, didn't it? We've been part of a lot of transitions. People going from regular phones to mobile phones to smartphones, going from just computers to internet to social media. So we had life without it. So most of us have some kind of grounding on the floor to say, all right, we've got some perspective. But these children that have grown up with it, like, that live on their phones, that are just, I don't know, because I can't even imagine it. Like, I just can't even imagine it.
What, you can't imagine growing up with it, or you can't imagine not having it now? I
can't imagine it being my everything.
Well, it is now, though. They interact with each other purely... they interact with each other purely... But there was a time, like, when Facebook, for example... I lived in Magaluf when I was 19, 20.
Oh, yeah?
Travel. We're going to do an episode on this, by the way, on just doing a summer abroad, because I think it's interesting. But I met my housemates...
Let me go on that subject.
Yeah, I met my housemates through Facebook, and that was not normal at the time.
Yeah.
But it's something I don't regret. So you're saying, like, you can't imagine it being your everything, but I think you've gone so far away from seeing the positives of it that
I think it's very positive. There were a lot of good positives out of it. But what I'm saying is that I guess what I mean in terms of, like, say Instagram, for instance, how they talk about how it's affecting young people. People are more anxious as ever.
Especially young girls.
I don't feel that bad. So I can feel it sometimes, and I can understand the call to it, but because we haven't just grown up with it from such an early age, for me, I feel like I have the ability to just not get sucked in by it. Whereas younger people, because it's just so much part of their life, it just, that anxiety is just already written in the stars for you almost.
So, I see what you're saying. But also, I think we have to realise that we're in our mid-30s now. Like, that feeling when you're like, I remember when I first got Instagram, I was probably 23, 24. And, you know, you're in great shape, you're at uni, and, you know, you post a picture on Instagram, and all of a sudden, like, people are liking it. It's intoxicating. So it's intoxicating for a 23, 24-year-old young man, and... With like, you know, with like 1,000 followers. Can you imagine how much that feeling is multiplied if you're an 18, 19-year-old girl with 20,000 followers and all of a sudden you're getting...
And I think it's rough, isn't it? It's rough. And I guess I get it to a degree, because if I post something in particular and it gets more likes than usual, more comments, you're like, yeah. Like, I'll always remember one of the best... Facebook statuses I put on. It's just popping. People were liking it left, right and centre because they just thought it was hilarious. It was a Sunday, and it's funny looking back through memories, because most of my stuff is just like how I'm feeling the next day from being hungover, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So one of them was like head full of eggs, wallet full of receipts. Boom. Popped.
Yeah, that's a good status. That's very on brand for you as really? Well. That is very 2014 Chris Alley. Like, it's a very, the sort of thing, if you'd have put that quote up there and said one of your mates wrote this on a Facebook status in 2013, I'd be like, that's Chris.
You know what? Well, I didn't even realise at the time, but when I look back at it, I used to be writing bars on these statuses, like, and I'd shoot some shots. I remember, like, with some Mother's Day one being like, you know, happy Mother's Day to all the hoes out there.
I look back at, like, some of the things I used to write on there. I remember my worst one, and I hope for many reasons this episode doesn't blow up, but it was the day that Michael Jackson died. Yeah, I know, you can already see where this is going. And I wrote...
It's
going
to going to be.
My Facebook status was, Gary Glitter has just bid 50 grand on eBay for MJ's laptop. I know. And people, like, can you imagine if that came out now? Can you imagine if I got pulled into work?
That is a bar.
I know. Can you imagine if I got pulled into work tomorrow and they were like, in 2010, you wrote this. Care to explain yourself?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? I don't think... See, I've definitely got stuff. There was a picture that come up on Memories the other day where I'm sniffing a shot through my nose through a straw. Right, and it could look like I'd be doing cocaine, just, but it's not. I know it's a shot. And I've got a lot of pictures that, you know, we were just saying before, like, if my comedy goes well, things start popping, people will come after me, because I've got some pictures of me, but it's more like just throwing up and shit, and, you know,
yeah.
There's nothing that's...
There's no David Cameron, you shagging a pig, knocking about, or anything like that.
Well, you know, no, nothing like that.
No, I don't think there's anything to...
Most of it's just drinking and throwing up.
But I think, do you know what? I've just had this thought that maybe... Now that we're a bit older and a bit washed, maybe our version now of getting attention, because like when you're 22, your way of getting attention and social approval is like girls liking your picture, for example. That does wonders for your ego. But maybe pokes on Facebook. But now, maybe now that our version of getting social approval is by getting laughs out of people, and I think that's part of what. Because that feeling, when you're doing a stand-up gig, for example, that feeling of saying something and everyone laughing is a form of social approval, the same way of you posting, you know, if we were 20 and posting pictures with our toned chest and six-packs out, it's the same thing, but it's just a different...
Well, that's the bad thing about everyone thinks they're funny. There's so many people that are trying to do the same shit. No one's really that funny. Like, all these reels and stuff. I don't get it. Some people love it. Like,
I don't find reels that funny. It's very rare a reel makes me laugh.
My nephew watches, and it'll probably be up in... It's going to be one of my five sides thing later. But, like, he watches this guy who just watches Super Mario, like, the old version playing. And he's just doing... Or plays Doom. And he's just playing the game, but he just starts screaming, like, woo, wah, woo, wah.
It's not
this
that...
This guy's got millions of views.
Is it a black geezer with dreads?
He's black. I don't know if he's got dreads.
There's a guy who's... He's light-skinned. There's a guy called... They call him, like, I Show Speed or something, right?
Yeah.
Have you heard of him?
No.
Fucking moron. He got famous from playing Twitter and...
Playing Twitter?
Sorry, playing FIFA on... What's the thing called? Twitch.
Yeah.
And just shouting like a fucking lunatic.
That's what I'm saying.
And he's now got, like, 5 million followers.
I've got a clue what the fuck's going on.
Because 10-year-old... How old's your nephew?
Now he's 15.
So when he was 10, he probably would have found someone like him funny.
Yeah, well, yeah. And again, it's like, I wonder what that kind of stuff's doing, because it just, I don't know, it's like degrading quality. I love, maybe it's a little bit off topic, but YouTube, you know, I love YouTube, and I watch a lot of it now, especially as a fucking face.
You've always, you come in from a night out and stick YouTube on. You're one of the few people I know. Do you still do that?
Now, since I've been living by myself, it's just, it's all I fucking watch.
My brother does, my younger brother does that as well.
Yeah.
Miles does that.
And the thing is, so many people now just put stuff on YouTube and are becoming like entrepreneurs. So I think in that way, what it's done for people in terms of actually building the brand and stuff, I think it's excellent. Because, you know, for whether you like certain people like on Twitter and stuff, it's very opinionated. Take a Piers Morgan, for instance. Like,
hate him.
But for some reason, there's some currency in listening to these absolute fucking lunatics.
Because he interviews interesting people. So much of it is people who you interview.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Look, I don't really... There's very few people that I begrudge any kind of success for. He's definitely close to the point where I'm like, I don't know if he should be on TV as much. Only because he tends to attack people sometimes. Like, he's not reasonable.
Well, when he gets someone he disagrees with, he doesn't let him speak. He just shouts at him.
Exactly. There's no point. I don't even know why people... But then... People are idiots for going on his shows because they know they're going on it because he gets a high view count. You know, it's kind of like a circular industry.
Corbyn went on there the other day.
I know. And your man Corbyn's like...
Hope the wrong person doesn't hear this. He's just not very bright. I know he's just not very well. I weren't going to go that far, but he's just not that bright.
I'll go that far.
James O'Brien, actually, another journalist who's left of centre. He's an LBC presenter.
Yeah.
You know who he is, yeah. he was talking about him the other day, and I was watching him on a podcast, and he basically just said, like, Corbyn's just not very bright. And the people who were on the podcast were, like, horrified that he said that. And it's,
yeah, but he's been getting off the rails for years, James O'Brien. He's gone all
the way. They all are.
See, this is what's interesting as well, because you've got people that... One of the things I don't like about social media, and especially what it's doing to people, is I used to listen to James O'Brien. I used to listen to people like Madge Nawaz of LBC and stuff, because one of the things that Twitter's really interesting for is that it introduces something to you that you never normally wouldn't sometimes, you know. The algorithms can be a bad thing, but it can be a good thing, because it's like, oh, you like this, here's something from this region or area. So, you know, I think he's kind of famously become bigger because he would say things that were very strong opinions, like, but I don't think it was extreme or bad-spirited. It was just a very strong opinion. He would say that, then LBC clips got massive. LBC got massive because of fucking Twitter, right?
I still listen. I was listening to LBC on the way here, by the way. Right. Exactly. I prefer it to TalkSport.
But now what's happened is, because of his opinion, and I guess you in your comments, you get this fan base that pushes you on, the opinion becomes a bit more outrageous. And you become, for me, I can't listen to people like that anymore. Happened to him, happened to Majid Nawaz, happened to Jordan Peterson. They end up, their opinions become like, I don't know what, it just morphs into this.
They become a parody of themselves. Yeah. They become the extreme of what they started off as.
This is where, like, the concentration of being able to drive a particular type of person your way and incessantly being, I don't know what, like, brought forth to you, like, this certain opinion, it's only going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's why you talk about, like, you don't like the supporters of things. That's the problem.
Yeah, because the supporters are worse. I'll give you
an
example. The
supporters, and then all of a sudden you get someone that was somewhere middle of the road, all of a sudden they're like, your opinions become much more stricter or much more extreme. I just don't like it.
Well, I remember during the 2019 election, I was talking to my mate who's in New Zealand, and he said, we had like a mutual, so his mate who he grew up with, and I'd been out for a few like nights out and stuff, not a mate, but someone who I knew. He was like, an acquaintance. He was like, oh, I was speaking to him the other day, and he was like, what's happened to Rory? And I went, what do you mean, what's happened to Rory? And he went, oh, I think he's turned into a bit of a Tory, you know? And I was like, that is so wild. Like, not that I'm not like one of these people that's like, oh, fuck the Tory, but I'm not. Like, but he'd seen me write something that was anti-Jeremy Corbyn on Twitter, and had concluded from that, well, he must be a raging Tory.
Yeah.
And that was the first
thing. You're like one of those hardened Labours that gets upset at Labour. Like, you're a self-hater. You don't like your own groups.
No, but I don't... do you know what? I don't really feel like I fit anywhere in terms of politics. In terms of politics in this country, I don't really feel like I fit.
You're Labour. Like, you're old-school Labour.
Oh, yeah, old-school Labour. But not this, like... Not this, like, we need to ban, you know, we need to ban all fossil fuels, no, or we need to, miner. You know, yeah, I'm a coal miner. Yeah, if I didn't work for UCL, yeah. I'd be in North Wales, down a mine. and the second thing is, with people like James O'Brien and Owen Jones. Yeah. With people like James O'Brien and James O'Brien and Owen Jones, what they do is they'll go and they'll interview 50 people, for example. And they'll almost pick, I'm going to quote one of my dad's favourite sayings, an inadequate, so someone who's a bit thick.
Yeah.
And then they'll tear them to shreds, and then that'll be the thing that's clipped up and put on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it'll be, hang on a minute, you've gone to this march, and it could be a march about anything. It could be a march about, I don't know, free school meals. And they'll find the one fucking idiot out of 500 people there, interview him, make him look like a fucking idiot,
yeah.
And then clip it up. And that got me blocked by James O'Brien on Twitter. He blocked me for basically saying that. I said, at the end of the day, mate, you're obviously quite a bright fella. You're well-educated and you host a radio show where you talk about different things in the public discourse. And you've clearly gone out and picked on a fucking idiot.
Oh, absolutely. Right? They'd be feeding him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that was enough to get me blocked by James O'Brien. But it's true. This is what they do. They pick on fucking idiots. It'd be like me going out to interview Tottenham fans and picking the biggest fucking idiot I can find, and then going, here you go, this represents all Tottenham fans.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't like people like that.
Yeah.
So should we give our conclusions? Social media, good or bad?
Do you know what I was thinking about an analogy earlier on about, and I think there's two things. The, like, social media could either be like when when like the motor car came into play and
changed the game.
It changed the game. There are some negatives with it, especially nowadays when they're talking about emissions and things like that. But ultimately, it's a net positive because it adds to progress. Or it might be like when cigarettes first came out and people were acting like it was healthy and advertised how it was great. Everyone should do it. Everyone should do it. And then over time, people realised how bad it was. But they're already hooked, so they can't get off. So then they try and regulate it. And they regulate it and regulate it and regulate it. And they change the rules. And all of a sudden, everyone's just dying of cancer while people just making money.
That's a really good analogy. And I haven't got a riposte to it. But all I'll say is that with Twitter, I think you get all of the worst. Twitter and Instagram, you get all of the worst sort of elements of why social media is bad. You know, you're arguing with fucking faceless idiots, for people on Instagram, your personal confidence is taking a battering, etc., etc. But then I'll use an example from when my dad died, and this is on Facebook, and I didn't even have the Facebook app. I re-downloaded Facebook because I needed a way to tell people that my dad had died so I don't see them in 18 months time and they go, "How's your old man?" Like, so I re-downloaded the app. I said, for those that don't know, my dad died this week. And I said something like, I put a couple of pictures up of him and I said, like, he was a bloke who enjoyed a newspaper, a cigarette and a pint. And that's how I remember him. And I got so many messages from family members I hadn't seen for ages, old friends that were sharing memories of my dad that I'd forgot and saying, like, "Oh, I remember coming to Knockview before school to walk to school. And your old man would always be there having a cup of tea with a roll up on the burn. And we'd have a chat about the football." And it's just nice memories. And I think that was a good snapshot of how social media can be a great thing. And then every other day, social media shows you how it can be a horrible and a destructive thing. And it can affect the way people vote in elections. It can affect the way people view certain groups of people.
It's part of culture. It is part of our culture. It drives a lot of it.
But yeah, and that,
I think, sorry.
That's literally all I've got to say now. I haven't got an answer.
Because like, I was thinking, I was going to ask you, what do you think, like, is the best one or the worst one? Because I think, for me, Facebook is a really challenging one because I can see where the drivers are for things like Instagram and Twitter because there's a lot of businesses involved in it. The thing about Facebook is that it's like people you know who are absolute nutcases. And the comments that are absolutely, you know, you see the comments and what people write and the way that people interact with it. But I must say, right, when you just said that thing about your dad, then it's true. When there's like an event, it's not the same, but, you know, I came third in this competition a few weeks back.
And everyone's buzzing for you.
And people, you know, you do feel that. People, you know, writing messages to you and... You know, even when it's your birthday, every year it's just the same people.
The same people saying happy birthday. Happy birthday. But that,
you know, I ain't seen you in years. I ain't even replied to you, happy birthday, happy. And I used to think, like, what are these weirdos doing it? But honestly, as I've gotten older, I'm like, do you know what, Ryan? That's actually really nice.
You get sentimental. Do you know, there was a lad who, he would have been a bit after your time, but he was... you know about this, I've told you definitely. I told the boys on the WhatsApp group. He was the hockey captain the year I was the football captain at uni. And I didn't really know him. We didn't have the same group of mates, but we went away on captain's weekend together. Every time I see him on a night out, like, we'd spud and stuff and like just have a 5-minute chat. And he was just a really nice kid, Man United fan. We'd have a little chat about the football. Anyway, he died at the beginning of this year, like January, like the 5th or something, 2023. Right. And I went back and I was shocked because he was younger than me. Like, he was probably 29, 30 when he died. So he was probably 3-4 years younger than me. And, yeah, just fucking dreadful. And I went back and I looked at his picture. He'd been ill, right? He had some form of terminal illness. And I looked at his pictures and I'd liked some of his pictures. And I thought, fucking hell, now that I can see, you could tell he was ill. And I didn't think because I was just clicking. Anyway, I went back on our like history of like our friendship on Facebook. And I saw that like three years he'd wished me a happy birthday. And then a random other 3 years, I'd wished him a happy birthday. And other than that, we had had no interaction with each other. But I actually thought, oh, that's nice that that's there now forever. Like that we wished each other happy birthday and stuff. And it's actually, for things like that, it's so nice to look back and see that, yeah, you had this interaction. And like, he's not, like, I didn't go to his funeral. I didn't know him, but I was still shocked and really sad when he died because he was a great person. But Facebook is great for that. And It's the reason why when you said which one is the best, I'm probably going to say Facebook. But what I will say is Facebook's the one I could easily live without. But yeah. Everybody on my Facebook, regardless of whether it's like you're on my Facebook, but we've probably never spoke on Facebook in our lives. But everyone on my Facebook means something to me, has meant something, has been an actual friend. Whereas I think I've got about 1,500 followers on Twitter, and I think I follow probably 700 people on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I probably know 10% of them.
Well, I on Facebook, for the longest time, I had like well over 1,000 friends, and I always had it as a point of pride. I had at least met all of them. I don't have, if I don't know you, and I probably forgot some people, so when they added me, I probably removed them, but like on a night out, even if it was at least once, because there was a time when you'd be like,
the time when you'd add everyone on Facebook you'd met.
At least you met them on a night out and stuff. And there's like people that I still meet on holiday, and even like today I saw a picture of like this group of girls that I went on holiday years ago, and they were all just still out. And for some reason it's nice being like, I'm so glad you lot are still together, because you know how weird it's when you see someone you know from like years ago and you're like,
they're thriving.
No, but say like someone in college or uni, and they were really close friends with someone or a group of people, and they were pals. And then all of a sudden, you're like, I don't know anyone in any of your pictures from the last 5 to 6 years. Like, if people from uni saw us, they'd be knowing, like, oh, we're still pals. Like,
You
know, if people see pictures of us in 30 years' time, they'll be like, you guys are still banging around after fucking 30, 40 years.
Yeah. Look and at these lot. That's like nice as well. Yeah.
And but then I have, like, and I've got one friend in particular who I'm thinking about, because recently they had a loss in their family, but, like, I feel like I've got really, really good friends from other countries because of Facebook. And, you know, even now Instagram and just anything that connects you. Like, there are people that you're connected with, and it does allow you to have that. You know, it just unfortunately connects you also to the people that ain't part of your circle and are absolute nutcases.
Yeah. I mean, I've got people on my Twitter, for example, that I find a lot of their views absolutely abhorrent. But I can't unfollow them because I've followed them for fucking years.
And there's so many but days you've got to mute them or something, surely, man. You've got to start.
I pride myself on not being like, almost see if you mute someone, but almost see muting someone as like an admission that you can't handle what they're saying.
I'm telling you, you can't handle it. You can't handle the truth.
Before we move on to our five aside, by the way, that was a great episode. I feel like we could have spoken about.
We barely talked about what we were going to talk about.
But it's just it's such an interesting subject.
I just think we'll get better at this, if I'm being honest.
Maybe. We might get.
I was quite concerned. You can tell how high I am.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, I'll be smoking beer. I knew when you said 8 o'clock, you was going to be like, I almost read you saying, I'll try my best. Look, I'm barely talking. I'll try.
You've done it. How long have we spoke for so far?
Just over an hour.
So we've actually got.
Yeah, no, 52 minutes.
We've actually got listeners as well. Like, I'm well impressed with us that we started off, we didn't really push the podcast, and now we've actually got like a core of like 40, 50 listeners.
Oh, that's good. Well, look, if you are a listener, could you please, or you can check us out on YouTube, write some comments, please let us know that you're alive, because it would really mean something to us. And actually, for me at least, it would encourage me to actually work more towards certain things, because over the next few months, I mean, Rory's fucking lazy, he's not going to do fuck all for us. But I'm going to try to, no, I'm joking, Rory, I love you.
I just bring the wit.
Well, it's either this or talk to myself, and then, you know, I was trying to decide that my forensic group who I could talk to pretty seamlessly, and we always have good conversations.
We do.
But truth be told, hopefully over the next few months we're going to be up in our standards here.
Yeah, and can you like and subscribe as well?
Like and subscribe. I bought some of these little cameras, so we might get some angles and stuff. So
sweet! This is new to me. He's, for those listening and not watching, he's holding up what I assume is a camera.
They're action cams. They're 4K action cams. So I bought this just for the OM as well, and just for editing in general. They weren't very expensive, so don't worry about it. But we can talk about it if you want.
Oh, we go halves on them. How much were they?
It was only 40 quid.
Like, yeah, we'll go
each.
Up. How many did you get?
Two.
Fuck you! Yeah, go on. Yeah, we'll go halves.
Well, look, like, because you know, I don't know.
So yeah, I got 12.
Yeah, with fucking angles everywhere. You know, I don't know, we could start putting out like clips and reels and stuff.
I'd love that.
I really need you to start to learn how to edit. You need to be out.
I'm gonna learn.
We need two sets of people.
I've got 2 weeks off over Christmas, and one of my things is that I'm gonna learn how to edit.
Yeah. Because I think what would be a good task is to just, and we'll just give you the short clips. So you know, something like to take a look. So I'll show you what I know, and honestly, it's not that hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's gonna be my thing.
Yeah.
Should we do? Should we do?
Have more time than
I do have more time than you. Should we do our five aside?
Yeah, five aside. Is that alright?
So our five aside
is.
Do you know what the funny thing is? We was meant to record this last week, but I was ill. So I would have been like heavy breathing down the mic. So we put this off. So I wrote this on the 21st of November, and I'm looking back at this. Sorry, Chris's flat is like a shared entrance, and someone's just come in. But it's not a shared flat, but I thought someone was breaking into your house there. This is why I look around. So basically, our five aside, I wrote this a week ago, and I'm just reading it back, and it's making me laugh. But our five aside is the five worst types of people online, or the five worst people online.
Yeah.
Have you done individuals, or have you done groups of people?
I've done a bit of both.
Yeah, same here.
Of course, like, that's the whole point.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this. Go on, you go.
I don't know. I don't live in those trenches like you do, so I'm not sure it's the same. But all right, so number one on my list are people in LeBron James comments.
The reason that's made me laugh is because there is a subsection of people in LeBron James's comments because he was it. Did this start when he supported Black Lives Matter or something?
I don't know what it is. I just don't know what it is about LeBron. It might have been since the decision back in 2010 or whatever it was. And look, the thing is, the reason why it bothers me so much is because I was never really a LeBron James fan. So for those that don't know, hopefully you do, but LeBron James is like arguably the second best, if not the first best, NBA player of all time. So whenever LeBron puts any comments out, straight away it's LeBum, LeLoser, you know. And then it's always like, because the debate is it MJ or is it LeBron?
Yeah.
And so they'll be like, just MJ. He could put anything. He'd be like, you know, happy birthday to my lovely wife, LeBum, LeStrange. You know, MJ has your wife.
But
what are you doing?
To put it into context, I know most of our listeners are British. Like, we're talking about a Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, Zinedine Zidane level talented player. And, so, like, and they talk about him like he's, I don't know.
It's exactly that. It's like if Ronaldo would you know, write something, it would just be absolutely just like...
Yeah, but also when he got involved in politics, a load of the Republican Americans started to hate him as well. After Black Lives Matter and all of that, they started absolutely slating him. But that is fucking hilarious. That's made me laugh. Like, my first one, Andrew Tate.
Yeah.
Just Andrew Tate in general. Like he is the typical. He is typical of like the modern influencer in that he says some things and you go, oh, yeah, that makes a bit... Like, a lot of the stuff he does about, you know...
I don't know if you want to be saying that here.
No, like, he'll say things like about I prefer to live in the countryside to a city because the city's hectic and, you know, a countryside, you can get yourself in a better peace of mind to sort of, like, to be more productive. And then he'll randomly throw something out, like, you know, if you don't eat meat... worse than that. He says ridiculous things, like... You know, you're a cuck if you don't eat red meat with every meal. Or just some nonsense like that. Right. Like, he just gives this advice. And when you consider that a lot of his followers are like young boys who will look up to someone like him.
Yeah.
And he'll just come out with just absolute nonsense. In the same way, like, Instagram girls posting this nonsense makes young girls feel insecure. Andrew Tate saying, like, if you don't have a private jet by the time you're 23, then you're a fucking loser.
See,
like,
this is what I was kind of saying earlier, though, because, you know, some people say, like, oh, he's a real problem and he's damaging and stuff. But for me, I just see that as nonsense. Like, you really think that people like that have a massive influence on people today?
I think they probably have a bigger influence than we realise.
He's
a nutter. Yeah. People genuinely, he calls himself Top G, don't they?
Top G.
And people were like, he's like, if you want to be a Top G, don't ever eat enough vegetable again in your life. Just nonsense like that. Like, it's just, yeah, he's...
I mean, the more you're saying this, the more I'm agreeing with him. I might be a Tate fan.
So, yeah, that was my first one. These are in no particular order, by the way.
Yeah, right? No particular order. I've got no honourable mentions. My next one are the Fitness in 5 Easy Steps people.
Oh, mate. Yeah, I can't agree more. Go on.
So if I just do a couple lunges, some fucking burpees...
And drink your protein shake that you're promoting.
All of a sudden, yeah, if I just do this 15 minutes a day, I'm going to have sharp, sick abs like you do.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. You absolute tosser.
Absolute. And they're very,
the fuck are you talking
very about? Prevalent on Instagram.
And the king of that is, what's his name, Joe Wicks.
Oh, he's, but he ain't even got, he ain't even that impressive physically.
No, and his accent is stupid. It's like, you know, you're already, or the ones that get me are the yoga people.
Yeah.
So just do these 9 stretches every morning. And it's like 9 stretches every morning. Do you have a job? Like
those people,
absolutely kidding.
Those people,
I'm having a coffee and a shit.
Those people are more annoying to me because I actually went to uni and did sports science, so I know when they're talking absolute shit.
You know what I mean?
The fact is, if you burn more calories than you put into your body, you will lose weight. If you consume more calories than you put into your body, you will put on weight.
Yeah, but neither of those is going to be within 15 minutes. No. 3 times a week.
But also, who's looking at Joe Wicks and going, that's my dream body? Every bloke's dream body is the same thing. It's Brad Pitt in Fight Club.
Oh, like, I was going
to
say The Rock.
No, I wouldn't want to be that big. No. Imagine being The Rock's size and trying to fucking sleep in a Premier Inn bed.
Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like his arms are the size of your head.
Yeah, like, I don't know. That's probably small for you right now, but I'd rock.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your second one?
My second one is OnlyFans girls that comment in everything. So you can be talking about whether Arsenal should play Ben White or Tomiyasu as a right back, and all of a sudden your fucking mentions are flooded with fucking fake OnlyFans girls trying to get
when
you to
submit. Our social media marketing.
Yeah,
you're going to be doing that for this podcast. I mean, that's what you should be doing right now.
Yeah, we haven't got a Twitter yet. We should get a Twitter.
When we started this, you were a social media guy.
Yeah, well, I'm doing it on Instagram. We've done well. We've done well on Instagram thus far. Yeah. But yeah, OnlyFans girls, it's just annoying. It's if.
Do you know what? Right, I do like OnlyFans.
What do you mean?
I just respect it for some reason.
What do you?
Again, it's like YouTube. It's just like it's just making people money nonstop.
I find it wild that someone would pay $12.99 a month.
There is literally free porn.
There is literally an internet full of pornographic material.
I write someone's if someone's got an OnlyFans, I just write their name and then OnlyFans and then it's an image.
Yeah.
Why
are you paying $12? But do you know what it is though? Apparently, apparently, they like when you subscribe, they like talk to you, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it ain't them. It ain't them. They pay a bloke. They pay like a social media manager to sit there and reply to all these creepy men's messages all day.
Some do. But it's like McDonald's saying it's real beef. It's like they say, I really talk to you. It's like, I expect that in the fucking first place.
I just don't get how you can be a geezer and pay while you're on like a normal wage and you're paying for some girl in Miami who you're never going to meet to live this lavish lifestyle whilst you're checking your fucking bank account on the 28th of the month to see if you can do a Tesco shop. Fucking mental.
They'll punish themselves by giving themselves no sex, they'll cut their dick off, and then they'll just pay for it too.
Yeah, that's fucking wild.
My third one are people in reaction videos.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I mean, I don't even know what. And maybe that might be one of the things where I resent them because they get so many views, but I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't like it. Don't tell me how I should react. I tried watching one where it was some American football guys looking at rugby, and it was just...
Oh, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, but it was just crap. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. The problem is with these people, and I guess you could say the same about the OnlyFans girls, is people are watching it. So if people are watching it and consuming their content, they're going to carry on doing it. The only way to stop it is for people to go, I ain't watching this shit no more.
Do you know what I think, though? Imagine like making money off that for like 5 years, and all of a sudden they're like, it just stops, because it can't be sustainable. And all of a sudden you've got to go out in the real world and get a job, and they'll be like, you've been doing what for the last 5 years?
But they make ridiculous money. Like, they... Some of these OnlyFans girls are making like fucking 15 grand a month, 20 grand a month. You can set yourself up for life. You earn that for 3 years, you set yourself up for life. Buy a couple of flats.
And do you know stick what? Right? Do you know what? The thing about it is, as well, is that it doesn't even matter what you look like.
No.
Like, you could be super buzzed. Any of us. Someone will find us attractive. If I just bend over and spread my arse cheeks, like, someone will pay me 10
Yeah, but I think we'd be more niche. Like.
Well, I'm black, of course.
Whereas, like, if you're a...
I'm a category, you are not.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Big ears? Is there a big ears fetish?
No.
No. I think if you're...
I think there's one for soy boys.
I think if you're a girl...
Yeah, do you know, I was thinking the other day, I'm like, people are really going to hate me if they listen to this, because all I do is take the piss out of you. And you never say anything back.
No, because I'd save
very
my
serious.
I save my sort of like my best banter that I throw at you in front of large groups of people.
I
like
know.
I throw
need
one.
To do it here, so I just don't
I throw
the boxes on arsehole.
I throw one.
He fucks me up all the time. He turned me into this.
Yeah, I remember.
That's how we be doing. He fucking kills me all the time.
Our first like 3 or 4 years of friendship, you used to be just ducking.
Oh,
like where
I had to learn how to be an arsehole.
Yeah, but I've mellowed as I've got older because I've realised like the amount of people that I've come into contact since I've been in my 30s who have been like, yeah, you were really horrible to me in school, and I'm like, I thought we were just having banter, mate. I didn't realise that like I've given you a complex from 20 years later that you felt I need to bring
you
up.
You're a bully.
To yeah. Right.
Was that your third one?
No, my third one. I've got 6 written down, so I'm going to go my third one, football Twitter in general. It's toxic, it's horrible, it's attention seeking, it's misogynistic.
But you live in it.
I don't mean to. I used to enjoy Twitter 5 years ago when you could actually have a chat about football. Like I used to follow people that would go and watch their teams and would by football Twitter. I don't mean like a bloke in fucking Bristol who goes and watches Bristol City every week and tweets about the games. By football Twitter, I mean like
No,
I don't mean people like that. When I say football Twitter, if you're a Coventry fan who goes to every game and tweets about the games, brilliant. They're the people I want to follow. I don't want to follow like a 16-year-old in fucking, I don't know, Abu Dhabi, who has a picture of Cristiano Ronaldo as his picture. But they're the people I end up arguing with. And I think to myself, what am I fucking doing? Why am I arguing with someone with a Mikel Arteta picture that Ben White isn't a better player than Philip Lahm or Paolo Maldini?
I fucking am.
And it does my head in. And sometimes I look back and I think, there was a bloke, a grown man, arguing with me that he thinks Mikel Arteta was robbed of Spanish call-ups because he was actually a better player than Iniesta. And I'm arguing with him when, if someone came up to me like that in a pub, I'd be like, boys, let's go and sit somewhere else. This geezer's clearly a bit fucking slow. But on Twitter, you'll argue with him. And, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know, yeah.
And that's what I mean by...
Well, this is what I was talking about earlier, but there you go.
That's what I mean by football.
Thank you for proving it.
That's what I mean by football Twitter. Go on, what's your thoughts?
My next one, people that do pranks on other people.
What?
You know, like, they especially like young kids, they're like, oh, it's a social experiment, or they'll try and do a prank on someone out in the streets. And they just bother people.
Yeah, but then every now and again they get smacked.
I mean, I saw one today, and it was something I'd saw a while back. And you talk about like Twitter being a cesspool now. Like, I've probably seen more people die in the last year since it became X. Like, on
oh, you don't mean TikTok? I thought you was going to say about, because we haven't mentioned TikTok.
I'm not even on it.
Well, neither am I.
But yeah, they were talking about TikTok. This guy, I don't know what he was doing, but he just shot him.
Yeah, fuck it.
He was getting pranked. But the guy was harassing him so much so that the guy got the prank guy was harassing. It was coming across like he was harassing him.
So the guy doing the prank got shot, or
the guy doing the prank got shot because he was really aggressive to the person he shot. Well, sometimes I've seen it where, you know, it's just they're just bothering people. And they think, oh, people are online or they're streaming. I don't know. They're just fucking fast with people.
Yeah.
There was that young black kid that was on Piers Morgan's show because.
Oh, was he's from round here? Not round here. He's from Hackney.
He's from London.
What's his name? Like Mizzy or something? He's the one who used to like ride his bike into Sainsbury's and just kick things down.
Exactly.
And walk into people's houses and stuff like that. Yeah, if I was at home with my missus and my dog and some fucking random walked into my house and started smashing stuff, I'd go. My head would come off. He was doing it like in rich areas. He was going to like Mayfair and Chelsea.
That ran fucking
Chesham. No, can you imagine?
Onto syringes.
Yeah, can you?
It'd be like Home Alone. Syringes. There'd be a zombie coming outside.
Do you know what? I've just thought of a geezer that lives in my block. Really nice geezer, but he's about my age. But he looks about 45. Like he's a big geezer with a shaved head. If someone walked into his gaff, I would pay to see it because he'd literally like he's a big van driver. Like yeah. People ain't doing that in Chesham, all around here. Yeah. But yeah, good shout. My next one. People that check into hospital or mark themselves safe after a terrorist incident. Now, honestly, when the London Bridge attack happened. No, when the London Bridge attack happened, right? So we're talking 20. No, it weren't even the London Bridge. It was the one before. The one that... The Westminster, right? So when the Westminster attack happens, right? I'm seeing people who I went to uni with who live in fucking Bournemouth or live in fucking High Wycombe marking themselves as safe from the Westminster... Like, they live in High Wycombe and they work in fucking Milton Keynes and they're marking themselves safe from a terrorist attack that happened fucking 60 miles away. Yeah. What are you doing?
But you know why? Because I actually had some people message me from like a board saying you're okay.
And yeah, because you live in...
Yeah, but what someone said was like, oh, I've just been doing that because... So I let just people know I'm fine, even though I'm miles away. Because, yeah, I said to them, like, I'm miles away from it. I don't live in central London, that is...
Yeah, and at that time, you was working at the arc... Where was your archive job?
In Farringdon.
Yeah, you was working 10... Even me...
But it's just funny, like, people... It's like when people come to London and be like, oh, I'm coming up for a day or two, and we should meet up. You know, where are you?
Croydon, yeah.
The fuck you want about? It's like 8 hours
away. Yeah, that's happened.
It's massive.
Yeah, that's happened to me before. Yeah, I've had
to meet you for lunch. I've got a couple hours in the day. Where are you? Oh, I'm in Streatham. You're like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've had that. I've had people say to me, oh, I'm coming over to Manchester. And I'm like, Manchester's... I've been to Manchester twice in my whole life. Like, it's not somewhere I can just go. Like, this is a big country. But Australians and Americans think... Like, they think that you could just nip to Manchester for lunch. But, I just find it so embarrassing that someone marking them, like, don't, if people care that much, they can message. But, 5 people in a city of 9 million were killed. It weren't me. And if it was me, you'll see it on the news. But, yeah, I ain't one for doing that. That's embarrassing. Even if tomorrow a terrorist attack happened in King's Cross, I literally work in between King's Cross and Luton, in between King's Cross and Euston, yeah. I would not be marking myself safe.
Yeah.
People can find out.
It's
a form of attention seeking. And the checking yourself into hospital.
I've never heard that. What are you talking about?
People check themselves into hospital. So
what do you mean?
Chris Alley is at North Middlesex Hospital.
Oh.
Chris Alley is
what
feeling
about? Really?
Chris Alley is feeling sad at North Middlesex Hospital. Random people, I've seen it.
Checking at a hospital?
Yeah. Loads of times. What's the matter? Oh, DM me, babe. Like, Chris, what's the local hospital to here? Is it Royal Free?
What one?
Nearest one to here?
Whittington.
Yeah, mine's North Mid. Like, right, by the way, shout, worst hospital in the world, North Mid. It's literally in the middle of Tottenham. It's horrendous. Oh, like, you can see, like, when you walk in there, if I went in there, I'd be thinking, just don't let me die here. Just take me back to Chesham and let me die in my own living room. But honestly, being in that place is horrible. Horrible. With a capital O. But yeah, people used to check them. I don't know if they still do it because I don't have faith. They were up to probably 2-3 years ago.
McDonald's in Budapest.
Yeah. Do you know what? Checking yourself into the airport, fine. If you're going away, you're going on a nice holiday and you want everyone to know, fair play. Yeah. Rory Duffy is with Chris Alley at Stansted on travelling to having a pint. He's having a shandy. I'm having a Guinness, and we're going to Budapest for the weekend. That's fine, but checking yourself into hospital is the worst form of attention seeking.
I've never seen that, but that would be horrible. My last one is Russell Brand.
Oh, is he even on social media anymore?
Well, he was, I guess, kind of, but you know that's
Russell Brand.
I mean, I hated Russell Brand when he was on TV. I wasn't much of a fan of him before. All the stuff, and then he kind of got this cult following. But I've just always found him quite incessant. And then he obviously found his second life on the internet with his podcast and being on Twitter and being like an opinion person. I mean, I'm just counting like just online stuff at the moment. But
he is just a strange geezer. And do you know what always struck me about him is, I don't know how, look, if we have any female viewers or listeners, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I don't know how people found him attractive. He looks like he stinks.
Not as bad as I thought.
No, I just don't know how people find him attractive. He looks like he stinks.
But to be honest, I often thought of that about you. Sorry, that was an easy one.
That was an easy one. But yeah, he's butters.
I know, I never found him attractive. I never found him funny.
No.
Charming. He uses big words unnecessarily. I mean, I heard a saying recently, and I think it's very true. You can tell someone's smart when they swear a lot.
You can tell someone is smart when they swear a lot, yeah. Or isn't smart when
actually, you can tell when someone's honest when they swear a lot.
Really?
People that swear
are honest. Does Russell Brand swear? No. That he doesn't, but he likes to... He uses big words to try and show...
That just unnecessarily. Like, I have a good vocabulary. I don't have to use it like that.
No. Do you know what? I think... I can't remember who said this to me. I might have read it somewhere on Twitter or something, but someone said if somebody uses long words, people automatically think they're extremely bright, and that is a problem that we have with Boris Johnson, is that people think that he's... I'm not saying that he's not bright. People use long words. Not everybody, because some people are intelligent and do use long words, but people sometimes use really complex words and phrases to come across as more intelligent than they are. And I think Boris Johnson's guilty of it, and I think people like Russell Brand are really guilty of it. You know, like there's a skill to being a political journalist for The Sun, where you're writing things that are complex in a way that's easy to understand for a white van driver who hasn't been to school since they were 16, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a skill to that. That's another conversation for another day. Well, but
man,
no, just language in general. Like,
you really want to get deep with some of these subjects.
I think people listen. My last one. Flag shaggers. A flag shagger is someone on Twitter with an England flag in their England flag or a Union Jack. Don't get me wrong, I was born and raised here. I'm very proud to be born and raised in Britain. I love London. I love being from the southeast of England. But these people with like the British flag in their name on Twitter who go onto one of their tweets. It's wild on their Twitter. Like, they're constantly saying, so if the line of like overt racism is here, they're constantly sat right on that line. They're saying things and you're like, oh, you know, and they never quite cross it because they'll get banned. And then every now and again, they'll just go, I'm not racist. There's one person who I follow, I know him through darts, and he's constantly tweeting things that, like, he wants to stop all immigration to this country.
Yeah.
He thinks we should shoot the people on the boats in the channel, right? But then every 6 months, he'll meet a random black person and take a picture of them. Like, he'll literally be like, people say I'm racist, look at me. And it would just be like this is my mate John. It's just some fucking unwitting black geezer. It's really weird. It's fucking weird. Like, but he's so... The things he says are just... And there's no point in even interacting with him because he's thick as well. But
he sounds pretty stupid, yeah.
But constantly, like... saying things that are on the line of being racist, and then acts completely incredulous if someone accuses him of being racist.
Yeah.
Like, and even like he wants to ban all immigration. He wants to, you know, black life. He'll tweet like, black lives don't matter. White lives matter. Right? And then get upset when people get upset by that. Like,
yeah.
It's just fucking weird, man. There's sometimes to people like that. And also, they're as bad as the staunch lefties who are offended by everything. People like that are as bad. They're two sides of the same coin.
They're like both on the same ends of the
And I follow, unfortunately, I follow people that are the extreme left and the extreme right, like him. And both of them...
Just follow people in the middle. Man.
There's times I just want to go, why don't you shut up, you thick, boring cunts?
Yeah.
But...
There you go.
You end up getting punched, and no one wants that. I haven't got no honourable mentions.
I've got no honourable mentions.
I was going to say Arteta sexuals, which is the name for people who are obsessed with Mikel Arteta, but we covered that at the start.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you got anyone off the top of your head?
Not ones that I'm willing to say, otherwise I'd get cancelled. There's a lot more I could have said.
Oh, no. One day, one of us is going to say something cancel-worthy. We have to end now because it's 9:45, and Arsenal are just finishing, and we're about a mile away from Arsenal's ground.
All right, come up to the OM.
I'm going to get caught in traffic.
December 10th. Yeah.
Come and claim your free pint.
Yes, come and claim your free pint. Let us know. See you later, Rory.
See you later, guys.
Love you.
Bye.